you guys know, we're reading through Acts chapter 20. And chapter 20 is a powerful, powerful chapter. And I, towards the end of it, man, I had to beat my chest a little bit with the way Paul responds to these people who are his captors, who are arresting him. We'll get into that here in a minute. But two questions for you this morning as we get started. If I had to label this sermon with a title, it would be Identity. Identity. Subtitle, Who Do People Say That You Are? / Do You Know Who You Are Yourself? In Luke chapter 19, verse 18 through 20, this is right after Jesus had just gotten through feeding the 5,000. As we know, that was an amazing feat, a miracle that only he could accomplish. Two fish, five loaves of bread, and he fed 5,000 men alone, let alone those who were in the multitude there also. He took this loaves and these fish, and he multiplied them and caused them to be able to feed 5,000 plus people this day. So it was a mighty miracle. Nothing that could be replicated to this day by anybody or any person or any persons together. Only Jesus could have done it. After he gets through doing that, though, he goes to Simon Peter and he asks him a question. Of course, as we know, whenever Jesus asks a question, he knows the answer to it, but he wants to see what your response is going to be. So he goes to Simon Peter. He says, Who do the people say that I am? Simon said, Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Well, then others say that you're Elijah, one of the other prophets. But he stops him and says, But you, Simon, you, who do you say that I am? He said, Well, obviously you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus goes on to say, Blessed are you, son of Zebedee, because you came upon this not by mortal realization, but through the Holy Spirit. So my question I have to ask you, I have to ask myself is, who would people say I am? Who do people say that you are? Now, as we know, the opinion of man does not matter but a drop compared to the opinion of God. But we also know that we as Christians should give off an air or should give off an inkling that we follow Jesus Christ. People should be outside of our homes, outside of us, should be able to know, oh yeah, this is a Christ follower. If somebody, if you were to ask somebody, who is Virgil Savage III? They should say, oh, that's Pastor John 3:16. He's a Christ follower. He loves the Lord. He loves people. He sacrifices. He prays. He tithes. He gives of himself. He loves the Lord and he follows him with all his God. That should be what happens. What should not happen is, oh, he's a little arrogant. He's kind of cocky sometimes. And I think he thinks he knows everything and he's full of himself. I'm not sure if he follows Christ or not, but he proclaims to. Man, what a gut punch that would be. What a gut punch that would be if that's what it was thought about. Now you say, well, Pastor Savage, the opinion of man doesn't matter, so who cares what they think? Here's where it matters, and this is the only way where it matters, is if what they think is the truth. So people can think whatever they want to, right? But if they're thinking it and it's the truth, there's an issue there. Because somebody can say to me all day, I think your name is this, but I know my name is not that. So they can think that all day, that's fine. That's not the truth. They can say, I think that you sometimes are not listening to people very well, which could be the truth. If that's the truth, that's a problem. So who do people think you are? Who do people proclaim that you, who do people say that you are? Because I should be able to go to your workplace, your schools, your extracurriculars, your places you volunteer. I should be able to go to the grocery store, people, or go to your communities. And I'm like, so tell me who Pastor Forney is. And they should be able to say he's all these things. And they will say that he's all these things. Because trust me, people have an opinion about you. Whether you like it or not, they have one. Our job is to make sure that their opinion does not line up with fact. Because when your opinion lines up with fact, guess what? We're in trouble. Especially that opinion is, oh, they're not a Christ follower. But on the flip side of that, as Jesus is talking to Simon, he's talking to Simon and you know, people say that you're John the Baptist or that you're Elijah or one of the other modern other prophets. As we know, those people are wrong. Those people's opinion did not line up with fact. So those are not line up with fact. So the second question I have to ask you is, do you know who you are and whom you belong to? Do you know who you are and whom you belong to? As you guys know, my father passed away a couple years ago. But everybody knew that I was my dad's and that I belonged to him. They knew I was my dad and belonged to him because me and my dad had the same name. I'm the third. So me and my dad, my grandpa, we have the same name. So they knew that I belonged to him. Not only that, I look a lot like my dad. And so they knew that I belong to him. I belong to him because we have the same name, the name which he gave me, name which I go by and I live by. But also, I look just like my dad in many ways. People are going to know that you belong to Jesus because the name is given you, Christian, Christ follower. But also, the more you look like him, they're going to say, oh, he belongs to God. She belongs to Jesus. But the more you don't look like somebody, they're going to be like, that's not that man's baby. We have to call Mari because I don't know. You are not the father because if you're proclaiming that's your kid, they look nothing like you and they don't go by the name that you gave them. So who's to say whose kid that is? Whereas sometimes on that Mari show, it's like, nah, bro, that's your baby. But they say you got the same big old dumb ears, same eyes, same that's your baby. Likewise with Jesus Christ. When you look like Jesus, not just physically, I'm not talking about this, I'm talking about when you walk, carry yourself like Jesus, they'll say, oh, okay, that man, that woman, they belong to Jesus. That's their son, that's the daughter of the Lord, of the living King. In Acts chapter 20, I want to read it because, man, I love the way Paul handles these people in this chapter. Paul's going forth and he's prophesying, testifying in the name of the Lord. He's teaching people about Jesus, about how he's trying to not necessarily abolish the law, but he's saying that we can't live by the law, for the law produces death. We want to live by the Holy Spirit, what God's given us. So chapter 20, this is in verse 37. My phone moved on me. Sorry, 21, verse 37. Paul gets arrested. He gets arrested for what many people are getting arrested for nowadays, and that's proclaiming the gospel. He's being put into bondage, put into chains, put into jail because he's telling people about Jesus, and the people don't like it. As a matter of fact, it gets to the point where he's in a big crowd, and they yell out, yeah, that's him. Get him. That's the guy that's telling all these people and teaching all these things and blaspheming. Grab him and lock him up. And so he gets arrested. And this is Paul as he goes to speak to the crowd. It says in verse 37, as the soldiers were about to take Paul into the barracks, he asked the commander, may I say something to you? This is Paul talking to the commander. And the commander's reply is this, do you speak Greek? Like, do you even speak our language? How can you say anything to me? You don't even talk about like us. He replied, and also, aren't you the Egyptian who started a revolt and led 4,000 terrorists out in the wilderness some time ago? Wasn't that you? And Paul answered, I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. Please, let me speak to the people. So Paul didn't get upset about somebody calling him out his name. He didn't get upset about being misrepresented. He just let him know who he was. Confidently and boldly, I'm Paul. I'm a Jew of no ordinary city. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, when I was talking to Pop about it, it's interesting that Paul, every single time he writes a letter, I am Paul, a bondservant of the Lord our God. And so he introduced himself. He knows exactly who he is. You can say he's a terrorist. You can say he's a blasphemer. You can say all these things. But he's going to correct you and say, in love, hey, I see your opinion, but here's who I am. I am Paul, a follower of Jesus Christ, bondservant. I'm a Jew of no ordinary city. We have to have that kind of confidence of who we are when people come and try to throw on those misconceptions all those misrepresentations and mislabels. You are a follower of Christ. I'm Juanita, daughter of the King. That's exactly who I am. I'm Adrian. I walk with Jesus. I'm Brother David. Me and God are like this. Okay? You should be able to thwart all that stuff. Anything else anybody got to say about you? It's not the truth. The truth is of who you are if you give your life to Jesus Christ and you follow and you walk with him. So those are those two questions we have to answer. Who do people say that we are? And do we know who we are? Like I said, if I had to label this sermon, it would be identity. Who is your identity found in? What is your identity? I have to give a confession. As a pastor and a minister of the gospel, I got pulled over the other day for speeding down MLK. By the way, it's 25, not 30, in case you're wondering. I was cited for going 31 and a 25 going down MLK. So, PSA, don't speed down MLK, especially downtown area. But when I got pulled over, the officer, first thing he said was license and registration. And he wanted these things because he had to identify who I was, number one. And number two, if I had to be able to drive, right? Legal right to be able to drive. Privilege I'm looking for, legal privilege to be able to drive. Because if you have a driver's license that's current and not suspended and not expired, you have the right and the ability to drive. So he looked at it. Okay, you're Virgil Savage. Okay, you can drive. Cool. So let me see your registration. Once again, registration, let him know that I am insured and I'm able to drive the car legally. He sees my registration. Okay, cool. Let me go back to my cruiser, just look some stuff up. Goes back to the cruiser, of course, looks at my driving record, look at all this stuff. Comes back, is okay. I'll let you off with a warning. You know, we're trying to slow people down coming down MLK. There's a lot of wrecks and accidents going on. Just slow it down whenever you come down this way. Yes, sir. Drove off. You better believe, though, when I went back that way, I was going about 20 coming down MLK, okay, just to make sure, right? I don't want to get pulled over again. All I have to say is he was able to identify who I was by the card that I carried. When I gave him this driver's license, it's got my picture on it, so he sees that. Okay, it's the same guy in the picture. It's got my address on it, so he knows where I reside. It's got some other characteristics. It's got brown eyes, no height, 6 foot. Weight, we're not going to talk about it. But it's on there. But all these things are on there, right, to identify who I am. Even says if I'm an organ donor or not. All these things are on there to identify who I am. I have that identification. I've got my work badge. My work badge, it's got my picture. It's got my name. And my work badge allows me to scan in to all the buildings at John 3:16. Also allows me to be recognized or identified as the youth pastor because it has my title on it too. So this was Virgil Savage, youth pastor. I got that badge, right? So that's another identification I have. Allows me to go to and from John 3:16 buildings and work for John 3:16 ministries. Of course, lastly, I have my passport. My passport allows me to get into and out of countries and travel, right? So I can go to and from countries, gone to Guatemala, Mexico. It lets me get onto airplanes. It's another form of identification that says I can work legally in the United States. Now, all three of these identifications do different things, right? They allow me to do different things. I can't use my passport as a driver's license. I can't use my driver's license as a passport. I can't use my work badge as any of those kind of things as well. They all do different things. But the thing about them all, the person on all three of those is the same person. I am Virgil Savage, youth pastor, Virgil Savage driver, Virgil Savage world traveler. All those are Virgil Savage no matter what. So I can't be a different person for each one of these spots. I can't be Virgil Savage, John 3:16 here, but then I'd be Virgil Savage, the driver. Because the fact of the matter is, nobody separates the fact that I'm a youth pastor when I'm driving. So if I'm out there flipping the bird and cussing people out while I'm driving, I can't be like, that's the other guy. That's somebody different. Look at his ID. That's not me. Yes, it is. It's exactly who, that's me. No matter where I'm at, all those identities, I'm the exact same all through those. So those, like, all those identities allow me to do something. Like I said, allow me to work, allow me to drive, allow me to travel. If I were to falsify one of those identifications, I'd be in big trouble, right? If I carried around a fake ID, let's say, now I'm 35, obviously. So, but let's say I was 17 years old, had an ID that said I was 35, and tried to go in and purchase something that you must be a certain age to purchase, I would get in trouble. Number one, because I falsified information. I'm not that old. Number two, I'd probably have to put some phony name or something like that on the ID so that it wouldn't get traced back to me. So I'm trying to falsify even who I am. I get in big trouble. Big trouble. Have a passport. Let's say I got a passport and I falsified that document. I could get stuck in a country, arrested, and in some countries, as extreme as being put to death for having a falsified identification. But when my IDs are good, I can go to and from. When I go through the customs at the airport, I don't worry about it. I'm like, this is passport's good. I bought it. I know it came. It's authentic. Go ahead and stamp that thing so I can keep on moving. When I got pulled over the other day, I said, here's my driver's license, here's my registration. I was good. I wasn't worried about it because I knew it was all legit, right? When I go to John 3:16, I don't have no doubt that when I pull this badge, hit the scanner, the door's going to unlock because this is a real badge, right? But that being real as authentic and allows me to do all these things. Now, if I didn't have those or fake, I'd be nervous. I'd be nervous for a cop to ask for my identification if it was false. I'd be nervous going through customs if I thought that my passport was not real and not legitimate. Likewise, you have an identification card that identifies you as a follower and a believer of Jesus Christ. You have an identification, you have a license, you have a passport, if you will, that allows you to do certain things as a follower of Jesus Christ. What does it allow you to do? I'm glad you asked. It allows you to love people, love God, allows you to serve, allows you to sacrifice, allows you to give, allows you to pray for one another and for others. It allows you to praise and worship Him. This identification card is very special, but it cannot be false, because we know false IDs and fake IDs get us in a lot of trouble. False and fake IDs get us in a lot of trouble. Like I said, my driver's license, I've got some attributes on it. It says it's got brown eyes, 6 foot. Weight, not going to talk about it. But I can put any weight I want to on a driver's license. You know that? You can put any weight you want to. I can write on my driver's license right now 125, and they have to write that down. Now, they can look at me and say, hey, he's not 125, but guess what? They have to write that down because that's what I put. But that would be false information. If a cop pulled me over and saw that on my license, they'd be like, how old is this? Because there's no way you're 125, right? So it'd be false information. Likewise, on your Christian identification card, you can't put false information. You can't put loves Jesus, sold out, giving, servant, willing to sacrifice everything if that's not you. Yeah, maybe that's what you want to put on there. You want it because it looks good and it sounds good. 125 sounds good, but that's not what I am. Sacrificing and serving sounds good, but if not who you are, then newsflash, and I'm sorry to let you know, your identification is false. Your ID is fake. And it is not able to be used here or anywhere in between because you falsified some information. Now, praise God, the fix is easy. The fix is quick. Repenting, turning back to the Lord, asking for forgiveness, and following Him. The fix is quick. But we have to recognize what that is. So, on your ID, there's some identifying markers. Like I said, all those attributes I talked about, your address, all the things are identifying markers of who you are and where you reside and where you can and cannot go. Likewise, there are identifying markers that should be plastered and pasted onto your Christian identification, your Christian license, if you will. If God were to issue us licenses, these attributes should be part of the licenses. I'm going to give them to you. These are the marks of a Christian. Number one, it's a big one. Actually, probably the most important one. A belief in Jesus Christ. You can't proclaim to follow something if you don't believe in it. So the marks, if you will, of a good Christian, number one, is a belief in Jesus Christ. In 1 John 4:15, it says this, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. You can't get a license. You can't get a Christian license until you believe in Jesus, believe in God. You will not be issued one. Likewise, you won't be issued a driver's license until you pass a test, having given the fact that you have a knowledge of the rules and the laws of the road. You will not get a Christian license if you have a knowledge and a belief in who God is. You get that knowledge and that belief who God is, then you can be issued a license. Otherwise, there's no point in giving you one because you will not know how to use it properly. Number two, an obedience to God's commandments. 1 John 3:24, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And I talked about those attributes. You know, you want to talk about what's on your license, what's going on. Rule breaker cannot be part of your Christian license. Line stepper cannot be part of your Christian license. And I went to SLU, and they said a quote that I love, that I've tried to stick to, and it's that a blurred line is a line crossed. There's no blurred lines when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's very, very clear. This is the line. And once you cross that line, you cross that line. There's no blurring. There's no, once you cross it, like I said, there's either you're hot or you're cold. There's no lukewarm. So there's no blurred line. Once you cross that line, you crossed it. So blurred line, cross line. So when we talk about the commandments of God, it's like, well, what did God really mean by when he said, he meant don't do this? Or he meant to do this, right? When he said love your neighbor yourself, he meant to love your neighbor as you do yourself. When he said, hey, don't go do this over here, he meant don't go do that over here, over there, or in between. Anywhere, right? He meant exactly what he said. I know God speaks in parables, or Jesus spoke in parables, and we try to decipher them. But when he talked about the rules, if you will, when he talked about what is to do and not to do, he was very clear. Thou shalt not kill. That seems pretty black and white. Thou shalt not murder, or should not steal. That seems pretty black and white. Love your Lord your God. Love your neighbor yourself. Pretty clear. So when we talk about keeping his commandments, we're talking about all of them. Not just be like, well, I mean, you know, 9 out of 10 ain't bad. And then in our standards, that's not bad. That's 90%. That's an A. I'd be happy to get an A in school if I got 90%. But Christ tells us to turn away from all things. Turn away from all things the Lord calls wickedness. All things. He'd be like, well, I mean, I'm saved, but you know, I cuss a little bit. Mm-mm. That's a cute saying and a funny shirt, but it's not the truth. But the truth of the matter is, it's still wrong, right? It's still wrong. I'm not saying that I don't ever do it. Hear me well. I'm not calling anybody out. I'm not judging anybody. I'm saying that we, even the smallest sin that we think is sin that we can get away with, is God says that you've broken the entire law by breaking one. Okay. So, number two, mark of obedience, mark of a Christian is obedience. Number three, this is a big one. This is a tough one, I feel like, for a lot of us. Rejection of the world. Rejection of the world. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him or her. If you love the world more than you love the Father, the love of the Father is not in you. What does that mean? That means that you love to do the debaucherous things. You want to go out and do the crazy, wild stuff. Hear me well. We all have sinful desires because we were born to a sin nature. But if that's your, if that desire overwhelms your desire to be in the presence of the Lord, overwhelms your desire to serve the Lord, then I have to question whether or not the Father, the love of the Father is inside of you. That's what the Bible says, not just me. The Bible says it with the question of whether the Father's love is inside of you. The world is what we're supposed to live in, not who we're supposed to be. The world is what we're supposed to live in, minister in, and love, but we're not supposed to be. When I say love the world, I mean love the people of the world, not love the things of the world. Because this world's going to fade, right? This world's going to fade. Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to blow the trumpet. He's going to open the skies. He's going to take all those who believe in him with him to heaven. So he's coming back. But the things of this world are going to fade. So all the riches you've stored up, your cars, your money, your house, your fame, your fortune, all that, it's all going to go away. that's not me saying, you know, work hard, continue to do what you're doing, and God's called you to do. And if you have that stuff, praise God for it and continue to use it to further the kingdom. But know that it doesn't belong to you and it's all going to fade away. Only thing that does belong to you is your relationship with Jesus Christ. So you have to love that more than the things of this world. You know, we talked this morning in youth Bible study, we're going through the Ten Commandments. And number two was do not make any idols or bow down to any idols in place of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, your Lord God. And I told him it's anything that you put in front of your relationship with Jesus Christ, even a good thing. I'm a youth pastor and I love doing youth ministry. I love doing youth group and all that kind of stuff. But if that becomes an idol where I'm all of a sudden just so worried about the things of ministry instead of the what God's called me to do, I've idolized the ministry above my relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's still not right. I'm like, well, but you're working hard and you're ministering those kids and you're giving them, yeah. But I'm not doing it under the guise of the Holy Spirit. And so when I do that, I've idolized youth ministry. You can idolize your family over your relationship with God. I'm a father and a husband and I love doing both. Love doing both. But if I put any of that above what God's called me to do, I'm wrong. That sounds harsh. You should mean you can't. You got to be with your wife. You got to be with your kid. Yes, you're right. But I'm only as good to them as I allow Christ to be in me. I'm only as good to them as I allow Christ to be in me. Because if I don't do that, guess what? I'm trying to do this under my own power. And I'll tell you right now, Virgil Savage III will fail as a father and husband under his own power. The Holy Spirit, I can't lose. So all that being said, the things of this world cannot trump our relationship with Jesus Christ. Cannot. Number four, a repentance from sin. These are identifying markers of those who believe in Jesus. A repentance of sin. 1 John 3:9 says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. He cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Now, as we all know, practice is something that you do repetitively to get better at it. So if you practice sinning, guess what? You're going to get better at it. And that's not a good thing. That's something you do not want to get better at is sinning, right? So when we practice sinning, we practice it, we get better at it. But those who are born of God, have God in their hearts and are repentant, do not make a practice of sinning. We turn away from those things that God calls sin. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not saying you're never going to sin again in your life. But I'm saying you do not make a habit or practice of sinning over and over and over again. You do not make it a habit of practice. We turn away from those things that God's called sin. That's the mark of a Christian, mark of someone who believes in Jesus Christ. Number five, a love for others. A love for others. 1 John 4:7-8 says this, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. You know, that passage, I'm like, well, it's easy to love people who are lovable, right? Somebody's lovable, like, oh, that's easy. That's easy to love somebody lovable. Like Aunt Vicky, who doesn't love Aunt Vicky? That's easy. I can love Aunt Vicky all day. So I'm like, you love Aunt Vicky? Oh, yeah, I love her to death. That's easy. That's easy. And I got a couple coworkers. They work at the FYC. I love my FYC people. But some coworkers in different parts of John 3:16, I'm like, you're a little hard to love because I feel like you should act a certain way and be a certain way when you work at John 3:16 or in general. So you're a little harder to love. You're a little more unlovable, if you will. But guess what? God says I still have to love that person. Because if I can't love that person, then I don't know what love is. Because the fact of the matter is, I'm sure Jesus Christ, when he came down here, saw some pretty unlovable people. Matter of fact, some unlovable people put him on the cross. Some unlovable people probably kicked him in the face, spit upon him, pushed a crown of thorns to his brow, hit him, gambled his clothes away. That's pretty unlovable, unsavory people that did that. And guess what he did for him? He died. And he rose again. That's what he did for those who were unlovable. What I do for the people who are unlovable in my life, I might give them a dollar. If I'm feeling good that day, maybe. but die for them? I'm not trying to do that. That's crazy. I'll die for people I love all day. People I don't love? No, that's crazy. But guess what Jesus Christ said? He said that's what you've been called to do. To die to yourself daily, take up your cross, and follow him. He told you that. He told me that. He told us that. So the mark of somebody who follows Jesus on your license is going to say, lover of people. If it doesn't say that, then guess what? God says, you don't know me if you don't love others. You don't know me. I've got two more, and then we're out of here. Number six. And this was a tough one. Rejection of false teachings. Rejection of false teachings. 1 John 4:5-6 says this. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There are a lot of preachers out here, a lot of people who proclaim to know God, know the gospel. Some of them are on TV. Some of them are on street corners. The fact of the matter is not everybody's telling the truth. Not everybody's telling the truth. I challenge you this. When you hear somebody proclaiming the scriptures, proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ, check it for yourself. Even whenever I'm up here doing it, I will do my best not to lie to you or lead you astray, but the fact of the matter is I'm man, I'm fallible. So if I said something you think sounds kind of weird, you see it for yourself. You have your Bible with you always, whether it's on your phone, paper, iPad, whatever it is, and you check it for yourself. Don't you ever trust just because me or anybody else said it, that's truth. You search it for yourself, Christian, follower of Christ. Let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you. As I said earlier with Jesus talking to Simon Peter, he said, blessed are you, son of Zebedee, for you came upon this realization not by mortal understanding, but by the revealing of the Holy Spirit. So there are a lot of false teachers out here. I'm not going to call them out because I have my own opinion and my own realization that comes with the Holy Spirit, who's false and who's not. But I challenge you, when somebody proclaims the gospel, whether it's somebody you know or somebody you've heard on the TV or on the radio, you check it for yourself. Because the worst thing would be to fall into a false teaching and then be doing things that God's called us not to do. Doing things opposed to that, the things of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last thing. This is my favorite part. That's my favorite part. Number seven, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:13. By this we know that we are in him and he is in us because he has given of us his spirit. You know, when we get to singing praise and worship up here, sometimes I'll jump up and down and jump around and spin and all that good stuff. I want you to let you know that's not for a show. It's because I used to not be able to do that. It was almost 3 years ago now. It'll be next month that I was diagnosed a diabetic. And at that time, my body was pretty wrecked from the illness. Couldn't feel my feet. Could barely stand still. Like, I'd stand and just be trembling and couldn't even figure out which way was up. My strength was gone. I couldn't even do this up on my toes. Couldn't even do that. I tried to do it, and my wife was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm trying to stand on my toes because I can't. I can't feel them. I have no dexterity. I have none of that. Could barely walk. Definitely couldn't run. I was working at John 3:16, not able to be in the gym with the kids and do what I've been doing before. So I lost that ability at that time. But God, the healing came. You know, whenever I got on the medicine, they're like, we're not sure when I was going to come back. We're hoping, you know, it'll work. If not, I mean, at least it'll stop the damage. It did stop the damage, but also stuff like started getting restored. You know, I started getting a little bit back. And I remember one day I was in the bathroom. I was in the mirror and I said, oh, I can do that again. Interesting. And then another blow happened and I had to get a toe amputated because I got infected. I'm like, setback. I was starting to get everything back. I was getting excited. But I said, you know what? We're going to work through this one and get through this. Got through the amputation got myself back on 2 feet again. And once again, God's continue to work it out where I can walk again, run again, jump, skip, hop, all that stuff. And so when I sing sometimes and there's a certain word that hits me, I start to jump because I'm like, I couldn't do this before. So I'm going to do it all the time now. When I praise the Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to jump in circles even. I'm going to jump. Sometimes I'll come out here and I'll step out and try to, you know, encourage you guys to worship because I was like, man, like, if you only knew some of the things that God's worked out in my life, and I know he's done the same thing in your lives, we should be praising him a little bit differently. I'm not saying that everybody has to jump up and down. I'm not saying everybody has to run. It's not everybody's call, but I am saying that whatever God's called you to do and how he told you to do it, you praise him. Because if the Holy Spirit's inside of you, you can't stop. You can't help but praise him. I don't care if it's just standing there and being in reverence. I knew a friend that whenever they got so worshipful in God, they would just sit down and start praying. And they would pray the rest of the service sometimes. But you know what? They'd still be able to tell me every single thing that happened in the message because they were that in tune, that connected with the Holy Spirit. So yeah, they weren't jumping up and down. They weren't running around. They weren't throwing their hands up and they weren't like shouting hallelujah, but they're worshiping God. They were called to do so. And that's what God wants from us. When that Holy Spirit hits you, whenever that Holy Spirit has filled you up. So these are the seven markers. The seven markers, I want to go over them one more time to make sure you got them all. Seven markers of someone who is following Jesus. And they should be on your Christian identification card. Number one, you have a belief in Jesus, a belief in God. And that was from 1 John 4:15. Number two, obedience to God's commandments. 1 John 3:24. Number three, a rejection of the world. 1 John 2:15. Number four, a repentance, a turning away from sin. 1 John 3:9. Number five, a love for others. 1 John 4:7 through 8. Number six, a rejection of false teachings. 1 John 4:5 through 6. And of course, number seven, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, 1 John 4:13. So you think about your Christian identification card, your Christian license, if you will, to proclaim the gospel. You have this card, you have your picture in this corner, and all those attributes say, all those seven things, right? And your address says, a citizen of heaven. If your card is not false or fake. I know that my card's not false or fake because 18 years ago, I was in a youth group setting and I was, there was a message that was preached from one of the youth sponsors talking about playing the game. He said he'd been playing the game of Christian for long enough. He had gone to church all his life. He'd even been on the youth leadership team and praise team. He knew how to pray, how to sit. He would sing and raise his hands. He would answer the Bible questions, but he knew that he'd never given his life to Jesus Christ because he never had that moment where he stopped and said, I'm a sinner. I need salvation. He said, I was this person at church, but I was this person at school. My identifications didn't match up. They couldn't be the same person because I was two different people. Is that you today? Are you a different person here at New Joy Fellowship than you are at work? Than you are at home, than you are at the grocery store? Are you playing the game? Or are you not playing the game at all? Maybe you just don't even know if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ at all. You're like, I hear about that identification card. I know I don't have one because I haven't given my life to Jesus Christ. I haven't stopped and surrendered and said, hey, I'm a sinner who needs salvation. I'm somebody who's done bad things and I need forgiveness for my sins. And I know they only come from Jesus Christ. Maybe that's you this morning. You might say, man, I need somebody to pray with me. I need somebody to counsel with me. Maybe you're neither one of those people. Maybe you've been living life and you've been doing what God's called you to do. But you know that there's some attributes on your card that need to be adjusted. Need to be tweaked to get you back on the right track with that card that you have. Whatever category you fit, you do business with the Lord. This morning, the invitation is this. If you need prayer, for a life that's gone off the rails a little bit, let's get prayer. If you need prayer to give your life to Jesus Christ for the first time, where you want to know that your spot in heaven is cemented, you want to know that for eternity you're going to live with God, come get prayer. If you want to be baptized, we haven't baptized in a little bit, and I'd love the next coming Sunday to baptize some people. Baptism is a step after you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you've surrendered your life to Him. You follow the Lord and believe it's baptism. Baptism is not salvation, but what it is a representation of what's happening on the inside. So in your heart, you give your life to Jesus Christ, you died to your old person, and you raised to walk with a new person. Baptism signifies that as being dipped into the water, pulled back out, raised to walk in newness of life. Jesus Christ Himself was baptized. So I definitely believe that's something that we ought to do in obedience as He did also. So maybe you want to be baptized. Come talk to myself, Pastor Forney, Pastor Curl, one of the deacons, deaconesses. I pray that we do business this morning. I want to do something before we do that. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. No one's going to look but me. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make you do anything crazy. I'm not going to make you do any ritual. I just want you to raise your hand if you fit one of these categories. If you would say to me, Pastor Savage, I've never, ever given my life to Jesus Christ. I've been in church, maybe. I've raised my hands singing the songs. I've prayed the prayers. Maybe I've never been in church at all, but I know that if I were to die today, I would not go to heaven. But I want to fix that this morning. I want to know that I am a citizen of heaven. I want to know that my spot is cemented forever in eternity with God. If that's you this morning, you want to get prayer for salvation, I want you to raise your hand. No one's looking but me. If you need prayer for salvation, raise your hand. No one's looking but me. Maybe you're part of this next group. I've been saved. I got a Christian identification card, but some of those attributes need to be tweaked. I got a Christian identification card, but some of those attributes need to be erased, and I need to add some so that people know that I'm a Christ follower. I need to walk Christ a little bit better. If that's you this morning, I just want you to raise your hand. Once again, no one's looking but me. Amen. Put your hands down. And lastly, those who have given life to Jesus Christ, you're walking with the Lord, but you've never been baptized. You've never followed that step and believe it's baptism to dip yourself into the waters and allow the Lord to cleanse you from the outside and inside out. If you are interested in baptism, you want to talk to Pastor Forney or somebody else, would you raise your hand, please? Praise God. Praise God. So I'm going to pray for the one who raised their hand for baptism and for getting back on track. I'm going to pray for everyone in the room that you would let the Lord continue to speak to you. Continue just to heal your heart from what's ailing you. Continue just to allow the Lord just to watch over you. Father God, thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning. Father God, I thank you for the message that was brought to me into my heart. Father God, one that I needed to hear. Father God, as someone who needs some attributes on their license to be fixed and altered, Father God, I'm praying that you would just help me to be obedient into the steps you've called me to do so to be a better follower of you. I'm praying, Father God, for the one who raised their hand for redemption and for baptism, Father God, that you would just speak to them, speak to their heart. Father God, give us wisdom and discernment as we counsel this person about what it means to follow the Lord and believe his baptism. Father God, as we rejoice as a church together when this happens, I'm praying, Father, that you just continue to be with us. Father God, thank you for New Joy Fellowship and our identity in this community. May it be one that we have a license, if you will, Father, to proclaim the gospel because of these attributes that you've laid upon us. And Father God, any time that we are in danger of getting the license revoked, Father, correct us. Father God, show us blind spots in our ministry where we're not following you like we need to accurately. I thank you, Father, for letting me be a part and praying, Father God, ultimately that your kingdom will be furthered and your will be done in all things. In your name I pray. Amen.